I think some of us, maybe not all of us, learn that generally in life, it is better to give than to receive. Growing up, when we made the transition to secondary school, mum and dad, for better or worse, gave us, their children, the opportunity for the first time to choose them a present. They gave us each £10, so that was a budget of £5 per person, per parent. And I remember that first year thinking, oh, I'm not going to have any trouble finding something for Dad, but what on earth am I going to get Mum? I've never bought something for a lady before. Well, I happened to come across this leaflet. I don't know whether or not any of you remember this shop, Index, the catalogue shop, where they had one of their sales flyers. And within that shop, there was this wonderful leaflet of this travel makeup set. And I thought, well, that will be perfect for Mum. It was $16.99 or something like that, reduced to $5.99. So I said, oh, well, Dad, that's £4 for you. It's going to be £6 for Mum this year. And after waiting for it to come down, do you remember those lifts at the back of the shops, like same as old Argos, so, you know, waiting for it to come down in the lifts, and then it was handed to me. I remember holding it and thinking, well, this is smaller than what I expected. And then, of course, you go back to the catalogue, and then you see the small print, not actual size, this nice big picture, and I'm left with this small thing. However, when I got home and I opened it to check that it was okay, the fact that it was small actually made it all the more amazing to me, because it was actually like a James Bond gadget. You see, the reason I had chosen it was because the top opened up and these two trays slid out to the side. And then from those two trays, there were two other little drawers. And then in the middle compartment, you could pull out the bottom tray and then you could pull out two side drawers from that. I thought it was amazing. It looked something like this. I was scouring the internet. I mean, that's a bit bigger, but that's what it was like. Now, I've got to say, the colours of the eyeshadows and the lipsticks weren't necessarily to Mum's tastes. But how it opened up was great. So I wrapped it up, and I think for the first time, the excitement of giving a present really gripped me. Then I, of course, had to wait for Christmas time and for Mum to unwrap this awesome James Bond-style makeup set and hopefully seeing her smile. Well, I wasn't disappointed, even if the makeup sections were too small to be of any use and lots of the colours were way too leery for my mum. She always was great at appreciating whatever we had thoughtfully bought her, and she smiled away. Well, I'm sure that most of you here this evening can perhaps relate to the excitement of giving a gift. In fact, some of you might be quite excited about a particular gift that you've got to give someone tomorrow. And you too will be watching quite intently as they unwrap that gift. You'll be hoping for a smile. Maybe some tears of joy. You'll be wanting to avoid any looks of disappointment. You'll be eager to see your gift played with or used or worn, not politely discarded and then seen in a charity shop window in a couple of weeks' time. Well, we may be 2,000 years on from the first Christmas, but all that has taken place here tonight as we've sung carols, and as we've listened to God's word being read, it's almost as if God's gift to us has started to be unwrapped. And it's as if God is saying to us, what do you think of my gift to you in the Lord Jesus? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. And here's another verse from the Bible. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. What do you make of my gift to you? I can hear God saying, what do you think of my son Jesus? Have you taken time to understand why I sent him? Why it's such a remarkable birth that here we are 2,000 years on and people still talk about it, still celebrate it? Have you considered his life and why he died? Do you know the hope of sins forgiven and eternal life in Jesus? That first Christmas, the ultimate gift from God to mankind, for you and for me, was unwrapped in that stable in Bethlehem. And in God's goodness, in and through the Bible, it can be unwrapped again and again. and we can receive Jesus. So tonight we're briefly going to think about four reactions to the process of unwrapping a present, some of which I'm sure we will see tomorrow, all of which God observes as we unwrap and as we respond to this gift of the Lord Jesus. We'll start by thinking about those all-important first impressions, because let's be honest, we can know pretty quickly sometimes whether or not the gift that we've given has been well received or not. It's not just children that sometimes read like a book. I can remember when Michelle and I started to date, it wasn't that long after we had started to date, and we visited her grandparents at Christmas time, and her granddad gave me the most horrendous tie. And there I was holding this tie up, and hopefully I didn't offend grandma or granddad when I opened it, but Michelle could read straight through my polite thank yous, and I'm pretty sure I could almost see her trying not to laugh as I held up this tie. Sometimes seeing someone's first impressions can be quite emotional. When a surprise is revealed and it turns out to be the perfect gift, and we observe the instant joy and happiness. Well, let me ask you, what are or what were your first impressions of God's gift to us in Jesus? Do you simply see a lovely little baby in an idyllic stable lying beautifully in this handmade manger, glamorous angels appearing in the sky, and you think to yourself, well, this is all just a wonderful fairy tale. And you're happy to be polite and to attend a carol service, but deep down, I haven't got any time for Jesus. Or maybe your first impressions are actually more in line with what we've heard from the Bible this evening, that Jesus was born in an everyday, likely run down and smelly stable, because there was no room in the inn, wrapped in cloths, lying in an animal's feeding trough, no halos or this warm glow that you see on Christmas cards, likely just a cold draft, and you're struck by the humility of this birth. After all, how many of us have been born in a stable? And you also noted, as the readings were being read out, the reactions to the angels. It wasn't one of, wow, look, aren't they pretty angels, but it was one of fear. And actually, previously, you've looked into the reliability and the accuracy of the Bible, and you found that actually it stands up as a very accurate historical book. So there may be something in this Jesus, but you're just not quite sure, and life is busy, so you park it. Leave it for another year. You see, a number of us as Christians here this evening probably fell into one of those first two impressions. Yet now we rejoice every year, more than that, every day, as we think about this gift of God being unwrapped in Bethlehem, because we know it to be true in our hearts and in our minds. But think about it. Surely no one other than God would script the Lord of all creation coming so humbly to this earth. The wise men went to find the king, and where did they go? Herod's palace. Where would you and I all go? If we were writing a story, where would the king be born? In the palace. You see, these biblical accounts are unique. You couldn't make them up. And in the glory of Jesus' birth, we have a foretaste of the humility, the wonder, and the glory of the life that Jesus would lead. And from the common shepherds to the wealthy wise men, well, we see people of all walks of life being drawn to Jesus, just as they were in his 3 years of public ministry, just as people from all walks of life over the last 2,000 years have been drawn to Jesus. What is your first impression of God's gift? Because if you fall into the first category, it's all just legend. It's a lovely made-up story. Be careful. We also learn in life, don't we, that first impressions aren't always right. Sometimes we actually do misjudge a person. We think we know what they're going to do, and they don't always. Sometimes we start a job, and I'm sure it's not just me, but that first week, has just been awful, and you think, I'm never going to be able to stick at this job. But then over time, actually it's not that bad, and you actually start to maybe enjoy it, and it's not long before you thrive in it. Every now and then, we'll open a present, and our first impression is, this jacket is going on eBay. We don't say that out loud, but we open it, and yeah, this one is not for me. But then a friend encourages you just to try it on. And in fact, the colors that you would never buy, that you think, oh, they'll look terrible on me, you put on the jacket and think, actually, this doesn't look too bad. And then lo and behold, in time, perhaps it becomes our favorite jacket because it's never something we'd have bought for ourselves. First impressions aren't always right. And if you're in that second category of just not being sure, well, it all sounds interesting, and it is a very different birth, the birth of the Lord Jesus, than any other birth that I've heard about. And I know a little bit about his life, and it's just different. Well, let me encourage you, as I was once encouraged, that God sending his Son to this earth, well, it is good news not to be missed. Not to be missed. It's the most vital peace that we can know through the Lord Jesus Christ. He can offer us peace with God. The angels said, peace on earth on whom God's favor rests. Thankfully, what we read in the Bible is that God is patient. This is what we read. God is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. What does that word repentance mean? Well, it means to turn to God, to stop living life away from God, but rather to turn towards him. Living life away from God means that one day we will face his wrath, his judgment. Turning towards him, turning towards Jesus and asking him to forgive us leads to eternal life. You see, whatever your first impressions were or are of Jesus, even if you mock the Bible as a once upon a time story, God is not judging you yet. He's being patient with you. And you have time, even this evening, to consider afresh just who Jesus really is. Consider Jesus' life, his words, his death and resurrection. Remember, first impressions aren't always right. Well, secondly, when a gift is open, it's always good to read the instructions. Read the instructions. It's amazing how many times that the children and I, and men, I know I'm not alone here, dive into opening a gift and it doesn't work as anticipated, or it doesn't look quite right because we haven't read the instructions. I remember one of our children once insisting that they didn't need the Lego instructions. I'm just going to build this from the box picture, Dad. I don't need the instructions. It didn't last that long, did it, Samuel? Sorry, Dad, I do need those instructions. Let me warn you, if you walk past our house in Goddington tomorrow, don't be surprised if you hear things like this. Mum, it seems to be broken. Mummy, it doesn't really look like the picture. Or even, Michelle, it's not quite joining together as it should be joining together. And you'll hear my wife, if you stay long enough, she said this many times down through the years, have you read the instructions? Instructions come with presents for a reason. And often it's impossible to fully appreciate a gift without reading those instructions. Well, the same applies to God's gift to us in Jesus. If we are not sure what to make of Jesus and the eternal life that the Bible speaks of, read God's instructions to us in his word, the Bible. Because in the Bible there is information for us everywhere from God to help us. I just read what we're told the angel said to Joseph. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him, notice it wasn't optional for Joseph, you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. In most Bibles there's a little footnote that will tell you that Jesus is the Greek name of the Hebrew name Joshua. And Joshua means the Lord saves. So in this verse alone, that actually went out on all our invitations this year, Elizabeth skillfully put it within the Christmas tree, there is instruction from God, isn't there? We find out that Jesus is a savior, and in particular, he will save his people from their sins. Because without faith in Jesus, we will never experience, we will never know or enjoy peace with God. Our sin, the things we've done opposed to the way that God has told us to live in the Bible, separate us from him. Because the Bible tells us that God is holy and he is just. And the Bible is clear that God will punish sin. We want God to be a God of justice. But in his love, God wanted to save us from that punishment, save us from facing his wrath. So he sent his son Jesus, who lived a life that none of us can. He lived a perfect life and yet gave up that life to die on the cross to pay the price for our sin, to face God's wrath that was due to us. And God the Father was willing to give up his son, was willing for him to die, to allow us to mock him and to kill him, in order that those who would place their faith in him and in his death on the cross could be forgiven. There is no greater gift that God could have given us than the Lord Jesus. His name is Jesus. He will save his people. Notice that, not all people. His people, those who trust in him, he will save them from their sins. It's our greatest need. Here's a really helpful quote from author and pastor Don Carson. If God had perceived that our greatest need was economic, he would have sent an economist. If he had perceived that our greatest need was entertainment, he would have sent us a comedian or an artist. If God had perceived that our greatest need was political stability, he would have sent us a politician. If he had perceived that our greatest need was health, he would have sent us a doctor. But God perceived that our greatest need involved our sin, our alienation from him, our profound rebellion, our death, and he sent us a savior. If you can't figure out how a present works tomorrow, let me recommend reading the instructions. And if you haven't worked out what to make of the Lord Jesus, why not read a Bible? Or come along to a very short, informal course that we do here at Grace Fellowship. It's called Christianity Explored, and we just take one book of the Bible, Mark's Gospel, and we want to look at what that tells us about Jesus. It's really informal, and you can ask whatever questions you want. Do come along, or anyone joining us online this evening, email us. Thirdly, there are presents that when we unwrap them, we instantly feel indebted to the person or the persons who gave us the gift. Maybe because of their thoughtfulness or the time that they have clearly spent on making the gift, and we just feel indebted. Perhaps we're overcome with their generosity. And most of us instinctively may struggle to accept the gift. And we're all likely want to give something in return because we feel indebted. Or I wonder whether or not if you've ever been to a family get-together or a friend's reunion at Christmas time and a friend or a relative turns up and they've brought you a gift and you weren't expecting to see them and you've got nothing to give in return. Or worse still, that the relative turns up and they've got gifts for your children and you've got nothing to give their children in return. Well, when we unwrap God's gift to us of eternal life and receive it by placing our faith in Jesus, we firstly receive God's mercy in the way that God doesn't give us what we deserve. You see, we deserve God's judgment on our sin, separation from him, which the Bible tells us means death. That the wages, the payment for our sin, the rejection of God and choosing to go our own way, is death. And then, in God's grace, we receive what we don't deserve, a heart that's been washed clean, and eternal life. You see, that's the rest of the verse, which I've had up there several times tonight. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Mercy and grace together. That is God's gift to us in Jesus. And there is nothing we need to give or can give in return. You see, with Jesus' gift, it is okay to feel indebted, to be indebted. How does this happen? How is it possible? Well, here's a verse from the Bible that explains the gospel in a single verse. Because God made him, that is Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us. He died on the cross and took our sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That is how it is possible. There isn't anything that God wants from us other than for us to receive his gift and to live out our faith in Jesus. Here's another couple of verses that we've enjoyed looking at this year at Grace Fellowship in the book of Ephesians. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works. You see, there is nothing that we can do to earn our salvation, so that no one can boast. See, perhaps you, like me, have learned that generally in life, it is better to give than to receive. But when it comes to the Lord Jesus, you must just receive God's grace. And it's okay to feel indebted. It actually helps us to only boast in God's love towards us and not about anything that we've done for God or that we've done for ourselves. Lastly, please don't ignore God's gift. Please don't ignore God's gift. Have you ever given a gift that you'd spent a lot of time on, or a present that perhaps cost you a little bit more than really what you could afford, or one of those toys that's just really popular and you go on every online website and it's just not available, so then you start going around the stores and on the sixth store you finally found the toy that your child's been asking for and you're so excited. And you're really looking forward to giving this gift. You hope it's going to be received with joy. And then you see it ignored, or shunned, or discarded, set aside. It hurts, doesn't it? Our first Christmas talk last Sunday morning, we looked at how long God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit had been preparing for that first Christmas before the creation of the world. John 3:16 famously tells us the motivation for Christmas, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. And in Romans 6:23, it tells us just how much we need this gift, because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Imagine how God feels when we ignore his gift. Tomorrow, we will likely be observing people unwrapping presents. Maybe you'll be reminded, or you'll have to encourage a child, that sometimes first impressions aren't always right. And I'm sure some of us will be reading instructions. Perhaps a few of us will even feel quite indebted tomorrow. And I hope no one ignores a gift that you've spent time preparing for them. But above all, I pray that something from this talk will remind you that actually God is watching you. And you have all heard, we've all unwrapped this evening something of the truth of that first Christmas, of God's gift to you in the Lord Jesus Christ. And God is asking you, what do you think of my gift to you? What do you think of my Son Jesus? Have you taken time to understand why I sent him? Why it was such a remarkable birth? Have you considered his life and why he died? Do you know the hope of sins forgiven and eternal life in Jesus? Do you? She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Amen.